So we're continuing our look at the meaning of vocation. And today I want to invite you to consider an advertisement. Wanted, a homemaker to run a household, single or married, accommodation and food provided, salary none, occasional tips in the form of gratitude. Hours negotiable, but likely to include long shifts and broken nights. Responsibilities will include shopping and providing meals, making beds and keeping the house clean and tidy, undertaking laundry and linen to ensure that there's a fresh supply of clean clothes. Applicants should also be prepared to listen to the hopes and worries of other members of the household, to arbitrate in arguments, and when necessary, exercise discipline and sanctions. A knowledge of first aid would be useful, and a practical approach to unexpected events. Patience, especially when dealing with children or elderly people, would be a real virtue. I'm sure that you could go on adding to my list. Running a home and caring for other people is demanding and costly. Why then is it so undervalued? We ask people, do you work? And they reply, no, I'm only a housewife. No, I'm a stay-at-home dad. No, I'm retired. One of the things we learned during the last 2 years is that our lives and our well-being depend very heavily on people whose occupation is generally undervalued or unseen and usually taken for granted. When St. Paul talked about the body of Christ, meaning the church, having many members, he emphasized that the unseen parts of the body are the parts most necessary for good health and even life itself. We can manage without a leg or an eye, but not a liver or a heart. And so it is, I think, with any group or society. We need leaders, but we also need laborers. Now, so often when we talk about vocation, we have in mind a calling to ordained ministry, or perhaps one of the high-profile professions outside the church, like medicine or teaching. Or we expect that in order to claim to have a vocation, we have to have heard a clear voice from God directing us, and that following it will involve some kind of sacrifice. Yes, that's true for some people. But there are some vocations like homemaking, hospitality, and caring for others, which every one of us is called, old or young, family member or alone. All through the Bible, there are examples of people giving hospitality. It was a direction given to the Jews in their scriptures and part of their tradition. Rahab, who actually was not a Jew, she gave hospitality to the spies. The widow to Elijah. Judas, not Iscariot, another Judas, gave hospitality to Paul after his dramatic conversion. God worked through all of them in order to fulfill his plans. And throughout his public ministry, Jesus wandered the country and depended on others to provide his physical needs. He had no permanent place to rest and sleep. We know he stayed at Peter's home and often with his friends Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He called on unlikely people, among them Zacchaeus, to provide him with a meal, and the occasion for him proved to be life-changing. Zacchaeus felt valued and accepted in a way he'd not done before. And Jesus' instruction to his disciples when he sent them out was to take nothing with them, but to accept hospitality when it was offered. Without the willingness of others to provide for them with meals and accommodation, their mission would have been severely restricted. And then there's the passage that we've just heard. Lydia was a merchant from Thyatira in what is now Western Turkey, who'd made her home in Philippi. We're told she traded in purple, which was an especially prized commodity, so we can assume she was quite wealthy. She was a benefactor of the synagogue, although not a Jew, and seemed to enjoy more freedom than most women of the time. Having heard Paul speak, she and her whole household were baptized. Then she urged him and his companions to stay in her home, and they used it as a base for their ministry there. It used to be said, although it's certainly not PC today, that behind every successful man was a strong woman. What is true is that we all rely on others for our well-being, one way or another, and others rely on us. We need people to empty our bins, grow and distribute food, respond to emergencies, keep the lights on, and so on. Next weekend, we shall be marking Mothering Sunday, giving thanks and praying for all who provide mothering. And we know how important good parenting is. When Jesus was teaching about the separation of the sheep and the goats at the final judgment, he was making it clear that serving him involves generosity and hospitality. And we are seeing the most wonderful examples of this in the response of the needs of the people of Ukraine at present. But when I was looking at that passage again, one of the things which struck me is that the sheep were completely unaware that they were doing anything special. They didn't consider their actions out of the ordinary. They were just following their instinct. They simply saw a need and responded. Yet Jesus is saying that in caring for others, we are caring for him. What a privilege and what a responsibility. He said of himself that he came to serve, not to be served, and we have to follow his example. To follow our vocation means following our instinct and feeling at peace in the place we find ourselves and in our work, even when it's apparently mundane, demanding, or taken for granted by others. To know that it's a task completed unselfishly and to the best of our ability, using fully the gifts which we have been giving. Giving loving service and hospitality to others is a principal vocation of every Christian, and its cost and its value should never be underestimated. It may actually enable other people to pursue their vocation and contribute to the building up of the body of Christ and the widening of God's kingdom in ways we may never see or know. In these apparently everyday tasks, we can be fulfilling our Christian calling, however mundane or insignificant the task may seem. Amen.